my mantra is help customers win. If you have to sell, sell to help. And that will help the average salesperson understand how to approach that new sale.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the show. Today, I got a special one for you. If you are sick and tired of procrastinating, gentleman on the show today is going to tell you how to get shit done, which is the title of his newest book, Book of 17. 17 books, absolutely ridiculous. Host of the podcast, Sell or Die. King of Sales, Jeffrey Gitomer. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you. It's not a bad title, King of Sales. I gave it to myself, and no one has the balls enough to knock me off, so I'm keeping it.
Well, we got something great in common from New Jersey here. So cursing is allowed on the show. I'm usually the only one doing it. Sometimes I feel awkward doing it, but I'm feeling homey now. I got you on the show.
Our podcast, Sell or Die, we're rated E for explicit. And there's a reason for that. And that is that this book is written in unpolitically correct language. Because political correctness is for people that make no fucking sales.
Yeah, it's interesting. We send these marketing emails out and I get to see who the sissies really are in the sales industry when I rub them the wrong way. Their butt gets a little hurt and I question myself, these people are in sales? How are you going to make it if a word in an email offends you?
It's unbelievable to me, but I grew up selling in Manhattan and I spent years literally having people give me cursing epithets that I'd never heard before. Making cold calls and telling me where to go. And that when someone would throw me out of their office, they would, I have no time for you. I'd knock on the door again and I'd go, do you mean today? No time today. Can I come back tomorrow? Because I was determined to have fun when I was making cold calls. And I'm telling you, people would go ballistic with me. And I loved it. But 30% of the people, one out of three would let me back in.
Hey, listen, that increases sales, right? One out of three is pretty good.
Exactly.
Yeah, you got to go over the top a little bit. So you started in sales in Manhattan. Were you doing stock brokerage work and cold calling?
No, I was selling. I made my own furniture in the late 60s. I sold beanbag chairs. In the 70s, I sold imprinted sportswear. I made ladies' tops and men's tops and t-shirts. And literally made million-dollar sales in Manhattan on cold calls.
Yeah, I mean, I had a cold caller that worked for my firm, and he grew up working on Wall Street, and he used to do the same thing, making million-dollar sales over the phone. I always say in the insurance industry, which we'll get into, is we're not that good at sales. These people got an urgency to make a change every year because their renewal's going up. If they didn't have that, there would be a lot less people in this industry.
Though that's true. However, what people in your industry do not understand that it's not about the cost per month or the cost per year. It's about the value of the coverage. Because if I have a high deductible, that's one thing. If I'm not covered for certain accidents, that's another thing. Work insurance versus at-home insurance, family coverage. There's all kinds of things that are involved in this process. And people, like idiots, focus on price instead of value. And this is what they don't understand, the average insurance guy. When a claim is denied, it can ruin the morale in the entire company because they're talking to one another. And the object for the decision maker is to buy insurance or to provide insurance where claims are paid. And I don't want to get into the brands of insurance that I own, especially on the health insurance side, but I can tell you that on the property and casualty side, I buy Chubb. And the reason I buy it is I know, God forbid, if I have a claim, they're going to pay. How much does it cost? I have no idea. I'm buying a brand, not a policy.
So you've worked with many insurance brokers, I assume, in your career. You've been doing the sales training how long now?
Not long. 25 years about.
25 years, yeah. What is the number one thing or some of the top things you see salespeople do wrong in those meetings with prospects?
Well, what they focus on is making the sale rather than what's going to happen after they buy. So I'm an outcome-driven person, not a make the sale, make my quota, make my commission salesperson. And that's huge. And that stems from wanting a relationship with somebody versus making a sale. I want a relationship because then I know I can get a referral. Or I can make a sale and then move to the next person like an idiot. Because a referral is going to bring me a sale 5 out of 10 times. A cold call is going to bring me a sale 1 out of 100 times.
Absolutely.
Sales guys will tell me, you know, I make a lot of money cold calling. And he and I or she and I differ on the words a lot.
Yeah, most of us are doing cold calls in our industry. I don't see many, and I was subject to it as well. I didn't do much of asking for referrals, especially when I was newer, because I didn't think anybody would refer me business. I was happy just to get them myself.
Well, if you build a relationship, they'll give you referrals. And if you don't, you don't. I look at this from the perspective of what have I earned, not what have I asked for.
Gotcha.
Because you put people in an unusual or an uncomfortable position when you ask for a referral and you have not earned one.
Maybe when you deliver the results that you get, that's when you ask. I always say that's when you're going to ask for a raise is, okay, I saved the money. I'm going in. I'm going to show them how much money I saved and what I'm worth to them. Now, here you go. I'd like a raise. So is that probably around the same time we want to ask for a referral?
Yeah. I would say that after you've developed a relationship, you have coffee with somebody and bring them a friend or a customer, the best way to get a referral is give a referral.
Make deposit.
But that requires work and salespeople don't want to work. So I'm looking at it from the perspective of what can I give this person versus what can I get from this person? Because I'm a giver. And the challenge that most people have is that they're asking. But let me throw this at you as a scenario. You make a sale. And you call the guy back in a week and you say, hey, Bob, we don't know each other very well. I'm very appreciative of your business, but I run my business by referrals. And I was wondering if you knew anybody that might want the same kind of service that I gave you or same kind of product that I gave you. And Bob says, I don't really know anybody right now, but let me think about it and I'll call you back in a week or so. And a week goes by and Bob doesn't call. Then you call Bob and go, hey, Bob, you know, I've been wondering if you've had enough time to think about that referral. And Bob says, no, I haven't really. Let me get back to you. Bob will never take your call again because Bob considers you a taker. Where's the value? Why would I give you a referral and have you bore the shit out of somebody for a couple of hours and maybe make a sale? Maybe, you know, I'm not going to risk my relationship with someone else for you.
You want to make sure that you're going to make them look good by making the referral. But
exactly,
we talk about that a lot, is making deposits before you ask for withdrawals.
That's an excellent way of looking at it.
You know, always make more deposits in life than you do ask for withdrawals, especially in our industry, because at some point with our clients, we're going to ask for withdrawal and an increase in insurance premiums. So any opportunity we have to make deposits with them is great. I know you mentioned, and I'm not a big... I struggle with my old firm that I worked with and had a boss who had the humor. I am Italian. He was Jewish. He had that Jewish humor that he had. And you talk about making them laugh in that first meeting. How important is that?
I have a buddy who's half Jewish and half Italian. And his statement is, I don't know whether to buy it wholesale or steal it. And that will make you laugh. And for me, if you can make them laugh, you can make them buy. I lead with something funny. If I can make that person smile, I've relaxed them just this much more because we're on guard with one another when we first meet. If I'm making a sale in New York City, I'll sit down with a guy for the first time. I say, can you do me a favor? Yeah, can you write down two numbers for me? And the numbers will be the score that the Eagles beat the Giants by. You know, I neglected to tell you I'm from Philly, and that's the last Philadelphia Giants, Eagles, Giants score. I just wanted to make you have it there in case you needed to refer to it anytime during our conversation. So I've made the person smile, I feel like I'm doing the right thing by them. And if I believe in my heart that they're better off having purchased from me, then I'm going to go about my business. If I'm just trying to make a sale, even though I don't have the best product, I'm screwed before I start. So it's belief and humor.
I love the idea of using humor. And like I said, I'm going to have to script some jokes up for sure before I go in, because it doesn't come off the top of the head for me.
That's okay. But just script humor, not jokes.
Humor. Okay.
Something funny that happened. I'll give you an example. I have an 11-year-old daughter, even though I shouldn't. And my wife and I and my daughter are walking down to the beach. We're at the beach a couple of weeks ago, and we're walking down towards the ocean. And my wife says, we get like 25 feet from the ocean. She goes, it smells like a fish store here. And my 11-year-old goes, Jen, this is where the fish live before they go to the store. And it's not belly laugh, it's smile. And it's just smile and relax and then talk. Smile, relax, and then talk.
Yeah, and a little laughing, a little enthusiasm. I want to go back to the book, Getting Shit Done, because boy, do we like to figure out ways to do shit that's worthless during the day versus selling and making calls. Tell me a little bit about the book, Getting Shit Done for Salespeople.
Well, salespeople will put off everything to the last minute. Go back to, did you go to college?
Yes, I did.
Did you study at the last minute?
Always.
Yeah. Okay, everyone did. But you tell yourself next year you're going to keep up, and then you never do. So what I've written about is not simply productivity. I've written about procrastination. And if you can get rid of procrastination, it will make you more money. If you can be more productive, it will make you more money, or it will earn you more money. And so the two P's, productivity and procrastination, have to work anti one another in order to get to profit. You can't put shit off anymore, especially in today's world. We're emerging into a new economy, and that new economy is not going to be like the old economy at all. At all. How many videos have you done in the last month?
Me personally?
How many video conference calls? How many Zoom calls? How many StreamYard?
Yeah, 10, 15 at least.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
And what do you think sales guys are doing right now who can't go out? They're on Zoom if they can. And like idiots, they're doing it from their bedroom, and all I see is their closet door behind them. Because they don't know how to go onto any kind of program that allows them to look professional. Like, I have my office background, you have your office background, looks good. But the average person has not been on any kind of video call and doesn't really know what to do. If they knew what to do, they could double their productivity. Why am I going to drive all the way across town and spend an hour behind the wheel and then an hour coming back and lose 3 hours worth of time when I could make 20 calls in that time on Zoom?
Yeah, I think we're in a shift now, and we could talk about this post-pandemic. I said the opportunity, and we did a Facebook Live on that specifically, how to sell over Zoom, background, camera, lighting, so on and so forth. But yeah, I think it makes sense that if we're doing Zoom meetings, you know, you have the opportunity to increase sales, increase opportunities in front of the prospect versus traveling on the road. So I think prospects now are going to be more receptive to it versus before. And I think there may be more opportunities. We talked about this on another show. Is hey, Bob, listen, I'd like to just do a quick 15-minute Zoom call with you to see if something what we're talking about is a fit, and then go qualify them versus the meeting, driving.
All right, so let's look at a little bit of creativity. I'm calling Bob. Bob, I need to know, number one, do you have a Keurig? And number two, what's your favorite coffee? Now I'm going to mail Bob a 10-pack or 12-pack of his favorite coffee, and I'm going to say, I want a coffee meeting so we can just relax. Okay, cool. So now I get coffee. His business card is stapled on the top of it. I'm fine with spending the 10 bucks for the sales call, because I would have spent that much money in gas or more, and parking or more. And so now I've created this bit of memory that I've sent him coffee. We've had a cup of coffee together. I'm cool. I said, Bob, there's 9 more K-cups in there. Could we meet again?
I love it.
It's better than the average sales guy who's going, well, how am I looking so far?
It's what? Simple yet creative. It gives...
Right.
It's creating that path of the follow-up. I mean, it's funny. I used to do, when I did the meetings, I would send them a Dunkin' Donuts coffee gift card to thank them for their time, but I would do it as a guilt trip for them to make sure that they sent me the information after I sent them an email and they gave me the information I requested, just to put a little something out there, whatever you can do to get it to work.
Right, right, of course. But the average sales guy is either complaining or lazy and doesn't think in terms of creativity. You can create a minor competitive advantage with a cup of coffee, because your competitors did not. Not that they did it and you didn't do it, but that you did it and it made the customer feel good and like you more.
It's almost a part of a follow-up or a follow-up touch point, which most salespeople, I think that's where they struggle. I did a really good job at following up, and it's numerous times. They say 8 to 12 times touch points for somebody before somebody's going to buy from you. So that coffee that you're sending them or what have you is one point of the follow-up. What do you see with salespeople? Is that why a lot of sales are not made? Fortunes in the follow-up, that's what I believe.
Their urgency is that they don't really have anything to say other than, are you going to buy from me? So if I were in your business, which is predominantly helping people stay healthy, is that fair to say?
Well, we're selling them the health insurance and right. Trying to lower their costs. That's what most people, it's a rising cost.
But I don't want to use my health insurance. I want to stay healthy. So if I'm the person who's providing a health tip every day or even every week, or I have a white paper on how to make employees feel great about their job, be more healthy on the job, 10 things they can do, 5 things they can do. If I give that as a value offering, I'm going to be a hell of a lot more top of mind than the guy that says, please find my proposal.
Sure. And that's the new world of marketing, is just drip, drip, dripping on them. I get your sales emails all the time hitting people.
Right.
You know?
Okay. Now, hang on 1 second. Did I call you or did you call me?
I called you.
Right. I don't call anybody. I've been doing this for 25 years, never made a sales call, because I'm a value giver and I'm a positioner in my marketplace, and people call me for information or ideas or needs or have questions or whatever the circumstances, and it turns into money.
It's an inbound marketing method. In our industry, I always directly made cold calls and grew 95% of my book that way. But I've learned the inbound marketing process, and our show here, Heads Up Advisors, is all about delivering value. Free Facebook group, YouTube, podcast,
right,
emails, interviewing experts like yourself, and giving them the value out of books, things of that nature. And then people raise their hand and say they're interested and they want to talk to you.
Exactly. And invite you back again. You have an opportunity to make an impression. The impression is, am I viewing you as trying to make a sale or trying to build a relationship?
Yeah, we make this mistake, and I didn't understand it either. I made the typical mistakes till I started studying marketing, because we all think sales is marketing. It's two different worlds. Once I learned marketing, it was like, okay, people, what do they say? They don't like to be sold. They like to buy.
Correct.
You know, if you're out there selling them every day on LinkedIn or what have you, it sounds good in our head. Our salespeople, we always think our shit
old.
Sounds
it
good.
It gets old. And believe me, it gets way old. The challenge to get the attention of a person who might buy your product, you're going to deal with it in a company, you're going to deal with an HR person, or you're going to deal with this, some kind of procurement person. You may deal with a revenue officer person. You may even deal with the CEO if it's a small enough company. But the bottom line is, I'm not going to buy a price. I'm going to buy a value. You may think I'm going to buy a price, but I don't buy a, you know, I've provided 100% health insurance for my employees for 25 years. I pay for it. I have daughters. I pay for it like I would pay for my daughter. And I feel like that's the right thing to do. Some employees pay none, some split it, some, you know, whatever they do. But for me, I feel like it should be an employee benefit. So I'm not looking at it from the perspective of how much is this going to cost me. I want to know, what does this cover? What does this do? And for the sales guy to come in and say, well, I think I can save you some money, that's, to me, that's Jersey talk. I don't want Jersey talk. I want, you know, I want to keep your employees healthy. So let's look at what that entails. And if I think I'm the best guy, I'll tell you. And if I don't think I'm the best guy, I'll tell you that too. Is that fair enough? Yeah, that's fair enough. Now I have 100% attention and I haven't compromised my price. The average smart-ass salesperson thinks that he can lower a price and get a deal. He's not a smart-ass. I got an 11-year-old daughter can beat his fucking ass every day with a low price.
Every day. A lot of these guys are fucking Geico salesmen. I could save you
15%. You know,
20%. And I still see it on a daily basis on LinkedIn and or asking, hey, if you're looking to save money on your health insurance, give me a call, this or that. It's like nobody's ever calling you. Now, delivering the value, and we talk about in today's world, there's a new celebrity in town and it's you, right? Creating the brand around you and showing that you're the expert, you're the authority, delivering value, value, value. Now, I still believe you're still going to have to do outreach in our thing because I think it's, you know, I look at this industry, Jeff, as like men and women, okay? Women have sometimes have a boyfriend and have 100 guys chasing them. So they're never really outbound calling a guy. But you're still going to have to get their attention and stand out from the crowd, right? So they may raise their hand by downloading a white paper, jumping on a webinar or what have you. It's just a reality that you're still going to have to reach out to these people, but building that brand is definitely something you're going to need to do.
So you're going to give somebody a boring ass business card, correct?
Yeah.
Why don't you give me a little 2-ounce thing of hand sanitizer with your name on it? I don't understand. It's available right now. Everyone's using it. You can be the guy that gets 100 squirts out of a bottle and they're going to think of you top of mind. Literally top of mind. Do not buy cheap hand sanitizer. Buy the best. The difference is only going to be a quarter. Don't save money on an ad specialty. Invest money in the best ad specialty that money can buy.
Yeah, sometimes flipping the script on them is where I've looked at, instead of going down in cost and care, I might go up slightly and say, you know what? We're going to pay a little bit more for a lot better coverage.
Exactly.
More bang for our buck and value.
Because
and it's worked.
If you tell your employees that cost of insurance is going up, so in order to be able to justify this, we've gone up in our deductible. I don't want to go up in my deductible. I want to go down in my deductible. I don't want a $5,000 deductible. That's bullshit. That tells me that the company is buying cheap instead of buying for their employees. I want a $1,000 deductible. What does that cost? And that way I know that my company is for me. You can wreck morale with the wrong insurance policy.
How much, we live in a world where we're dealing with VP of HR, CFO and owner. Now the owner, we talk about different personalities, different strategies. And I always say the owner is the easy one. They're like you and I, right? That's easy to talk to. It's the CFO or the HR person that's hard.
The guy measuring nickels, correct. So I'm going to walk into a sales call. If I were selling health insurance, I would walk into that sales call, especially with an HR person, and I would say, tell me how health insurance affects morale in this company. And I'll guarantee you two things. Number one, they've never been asked that question before. And number two, they're going to have to stop and really think about an answer. And that answer is going to give you insight as to where this company is right now. Because they're going to tell you about the claims last year that didn't get paid, or they're paying too much money for what they have right now, and the other guy doesn't service them well, whatever the circumstances are. And then I'm going to ask them to tell me about one denied claim. And what was that worth? What did that cost? And then I'm going to talk about, what do your people really need? Because if I know the five biggest needs, then I can construct a program customized for you. I'm not going to sell you what I have. I'm going to sell you what you need. Or I'm going to help you buy what you need. And that whole conversation took under 5 minutes. And I'm way deeper in a conversation than somebody trying to show me their 25 boring ass slides that their marketing department put together.
Yeah, you're talking about finding the pain, push on the pain, sell around the pain, right?
Well, I don't sell pain, but yeah, the same strategy. Sell pleasure.
Now, I know pleasure. You've got.
I'm going to beat the shit out of you, or I'm going to take you to a movie that you love. Which would you rather have?
There you go.
You have kids?
I don't. Just a dog.
You need kids. Yeah, you need a couple kids anyway. I just saw a movie with my little girl called Stargirl, and it's just one of those unbelievable movies. Even people from New Jersey would actually like it. And the emotional part of that has to do, people buy emotionally and then justify logically. And so you're talking to a CFO, they're measuring nickels. And you're talking to an HR person, they're going to compare a budget to an outcome. And I don't want them to compare a budget to an outcome. I wanted them to compare morale or productivity to an outcome. Because if somebody decides that they're not going to work that day, I've just, all the money I've saved is out the window.
Got it. Talk to me about some of your sales courses. What type of things can some of the sales guys learn that are listening? They want to check out your sales.
I put a thing in the chat called the New Normal Course. The New Normal Course is, I made 70 short videos of everything you need to do to emerge from this crap. And, you know, you're wearing masks or you're not wearing masks, or I'm teaching people exactly what to say on a Zoom call, exactly how to question somebody on a Zoom call. I'm talking to them about what they have to do when they get back to face-to-face. Every single thing that they need to be able to play in this new normal, I'm giving them in this course. And I created it literally because I do a Facebook Live every day under my public page, Jeffrey Gittimer. It starts at 9:59 every morning. And I'll have 1,000 views by 10:30. There'll be 100 people on the call by 10:01. And I sold six figures worth of courses just from doing a free course every morning, from doing a free class every morning. And that's where the economy is right now. I want to buy something that I think will help me win. I want to buy something that I think will help me put myself back into this sales process that I've been frustrated by for the last 3 months, especially in the Northeast. It's been brutal.
Yeah, I mean, I've been struggling with it, and we came blazing out of sales, and I'm scratching my head going, this is the lifeblood of what I do, and right. No sales, and it's just like death to a salesperson. So, you know, I'm trying to stay positive. I'm trying to stay upbeat. I'm trying to saying, I'm just going to keep marketing. And I know that right. Tide's going to turn. Right. It's going to turn.
Well, but there's a strategy for emerging. It's not going to go, people are going to go, I can't wait till I get back to normal. It's never going back to normal. You're never going to board a plane the same way. You're never going to go into a restaurant the same way. I just ate in a pretty nice restaurant here in Charlotte, and Charlotte's halfway open. It's at the top of Restoration Hardware. You had to wear a mask going into the hardware store, walking up the flight of steps because the elevator was broken. And then when you got to the restaurant, you could take your mask off. Like, seriously?
Hysterical. I almost killed somebody I'm in California right now. I almost killed somebody down in Laguna Beach area. I went to the rooftop bar in Orange County. They're not listening to the rules. You don't have to wear a mask. And so I get there and she's like, sir, you need to have a mask. I go, you need to have a mask to eat? She's like, no. I said, what are you talking about? She's like, well, you're going to walk to a restaurant. You have to have a mask on. I'm like, what the kind of exactly. Bullshit is that? How does that make sense?
Yeah. Laguna Beach is nice, by the way.
Oh, yeah. It beats that Jersey weather. My partner's here in California, and I came in a couple times, and I said, you know what? It'd be nice to have a place here, too.
I'm going to tell you where to go. There's a hamburger joint. I'm just drawing a blank on it at the very moment.
In Laguna Beach area?
Oh, no. It's about 5 miles from Laguna Beach. But it's the best hamburger in the world. Shit. And they're... Hold on.
Hey, the food is not like New Jersey out here, I'll tell you that.
I'm telling you, no, this hamburger is the best hamburger you'll ever have.
If it's good out here, if it's good, I want to find it. You think about that. I want to, as we're closing out here, I want to go back, just to go back to getting shit done.
Oh, it's called the Apple Pan.
Apple Pan.
The Apple Pan, and their slogan, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Is quality forever. They have three bests. They have the best hamburger in the world. They have the best apple pie in the world. And they have the best banana cream pie in the world. Period. It's an old place. It's like 60 years, 70 years old. And you sit around a horseshoe bar and it's always crowded. And you stand up against the wall to see who's next and who's going to leave. It's unbelievable. Just go there. Apple Pan.
Just, I got to try it.
Yeah.
So we're going to close out. We're going to wrap it up here. What are your tips going forward on the new normal, on this pandemic? I'd recommend everybody go out and check your course. I like that you have a bunch of videos that are short and sweet because we got a low attention span.
That's what people want to learn.
Hit me.
TheNewNormalCourse.com, very simple. It will give you an opportunity to understand that you can't be aggressive in sales anymore, at least for the next year. Because no one wants to watch a slideshow. They all want to sit down and have a conversation about what's the best answer for them right now. Not a solution, an answer. I have no time for a solution, but I got plenty of time for something that will help me win. So my mantra is help customers win. If you have to sell, sell to help. And that will help the average salesperson understand how to approach that new sale, because you can't do it the way you've been doing it. You can't walk in and go, can you show me your health insurance, what you have right now? I think we can probably save you some money. Dude, go away.
Well, there you have it, guys. Go check it out. TheNewNormalCourse.com. Jeffrey Gitomer. Check him out on Facebook. I watch a lot of his Facebook lives. Like he said, he's crazy. He goes live every day.
Every day.
I'm doing it weekly. God bless you. I'm behind, but check them out. Jeffrey, thanks so much for joining the show.
Total pleasure.